squad cars. The story you're about to hear is true. Details are supplied from the official case files by the South African police. Only names and places have been changed to protect innocent people involved.
Johannesburg, June the 18th, 5:45 p.m. June Fitzpatrick, an actress in her late 20s, returns to her apartment building after a tiring day in the city. Her quest for employment in the film profession has taken her from Durban to the wider field of Johannesburg. But so far, the only job she has managed to obtain is that of a private secretary to an engineering firm. For the moment, she feels contented as she waits for the lift to reach the ground floor.
It's probably stuck on the third floor again.
Oh, not to worry, Mr. Costa. It's only two flights. I can walk.
Did you have any luck today, Miss Fitzpatrick?
Well, I've got a job as a secretary. It's not much to begin with, but at least it'll pay the rent.
That's the spirit. It's not easy to become a film star. It is, I know. But I'm sure that one day your name will be in the lights, and I will buy you a ticket for your first film.
Well, that's very sweet of you, Mr. Costa. But I'm not exactly sure when that day is going to be.
Not as far off as you might think. Just keep trying.
Well, before I climb the staircase to stardom, I'd better climb the staircase to the second floor.
I'm sorry. I will see that the lift is fixed as soon as possible.
Thanks, Mr. Costa. I'll see you later.
Okay. Don't forget to put the garbage out.
I won't. Bye.
Don't stop. Just listen to me. Don't leave your flat tonight. I'll be phoning you. Do you understand? Just sit by your phone and wait for me to ring. Don't phone the police or do anything stupid. I'll know if you do. Do you fully understand me? Good. Bye for now, Mrs. Fitzpatrick.
June the 18th, 6:50 p.m. A terrified June Fitzpatrick stares at the small white telephone on the table in front of her. Her small apartment is modest but tastefully decorated. And Lieutenant Robson of the CID casts an appreciative eye over the painting by the window.
Is this an original?
Beg your pardon?
This painting. I was wondering if it was an original.
Oh, I'm sorry, I wouldn't really know.
Miss Fitzpatrick... I know this is easy to say, but try and relax a little. If he rings, the call will be traced. I'll see to it that you have complete police protection.
I don't understand. What can he want?
No, it's, he was a crank. The town's full of them these days.
It's all so weird. He just told me to wait for a phone call, and then he just went away.
And you didn't get a very good look at him yourself?
It was all such a shock. All I can remember is this huge hand over my mouth.
Yes, nasty experience for you.
Oh, you can say that again.
Answer it, miss. Go on, don't be afraid.
Hello? No. No, this is 724-8239. That's all right. Bye. It was a wrong number.
A man's voice?
No, it's a woman's. Why do you ask?
I thought he might have been testing this number out.
I think I'd like to lie down. I'm sorry, but...
Just hang on for a little while, Miss Fitzpatrick. He may ring any moment now.
I'm sorry. I'm not being very brave, am I?
You're doing fine under the circumstances. There are one or two things that interest me about this chap.
Yes?
First of all, he mentioned you by name when he attacked you. Secondly, you've only been in Johannesburg a couple of days, haven't you?
Yes, that's right.
Then your phone number would be listed under the name of the previous tenant.
Yes, of course.
Then it seems to me that this gentleman has been doing a little bit of research. I just wonder where he found his information. There we go again. Come on, chin up, miss, chin up.
Hello?
Good evening. Are you by yourself?
Yes.
To the best of my knowledge, you are an employee of Imperial Engineering. On Friday, you will deal with the salaries. At 1:30 p.m., you will take 5,000 rand in your bag to the Bijou Cinema. Buy a ticket for the stalls. I repeat, do not contact the police. If you do, I'll kill you.
He hung up.
Blast. Not enough time to trace the call.
He wants money. He wants me to steal from my employers.
He's cheeky, all right. What does he want you to do?
He wants me to take a bag containing 5,000 rand to the Bijou Cinema on Friday afternoon.
Well, talk about organized crime. You can't hope to get away with this.
Lieutenant, I started my job today. How does he know that I deal with the wages? How does he know all these things about me?
At the moment, miss, I know as much as you do. But I intend to find out a lot more.
Oh, Lieutenant, there was something else he said.
Yes?
He said if I contacted the police, he'd kill me.
Do you think she's scared?
I know she's scared. She could hardly hold the phone while I was talking to her. Anyway, she deserves everything she gets.
You know, it's funny.
What?
I can still remember when we were both at school in Durban. You pestered her for weeks trying to persuade her to go out with you. She didn't want to know you at all, did she?
Yes, it's all very amusing, isn't it? Just because her old man had a few bob in the bank, she thought she was queen of the manor. I'll take any bet that she's not feeling so high and mighty now.
There's one thing I'd like to make clear, Wayne. I have nothing personal against this bird. I'm taking part in this little caper purely for profit, that's all. I like your idea and I think it's going to work. But don't get too steamed up about it. It could affect your logic.
My thinking's as clear as a bell, Jeff, old son. Don't you worry about that. I know that little vixen. She'll do exactly as she's been told.
What if she does call in the fuzz?
She hasn't got the guts. She's scared. Plenty scared.
I hope you're right. For both our sakes. Anyway, what's the score for Friday?
She'll leave her office at the beginning of her lunch hour, 1 o'clock.
Oh, all very surreptitiously, I hope.
And of course. At 1:30, she'll be sitting in the stalls at the Bijou with the money in her bag. I'll be there to collect. That's all. All very simple. All very neat. So really, your part of the job is just about done. I just hope you convinced her boss.
Well, don't worry about that. He swallowed it all.
The student of business principles bit?
Yeah. He was only too happy to explain how the office worked and who did what.
That's good. Everything has fallen into place very nicely.
John Forster Square, June the 19th, 10:45 a.m. Lieutenant Robson removes the sheet of foolscap paper from his typewriter, places his hands beneath his chin, and smiles knowingly at the cluttered in-tray on his desk. With him is Captain Manilich of the CID, and they have met to discuss details of the June Fitzpatrick case.
Oh, it's been quite a morning. Doesn't look as though I can get much busier.
You wanted to become a policeman?
You're right there, sir. I should listen to my mother.
Anyway, what are your conclusions on the Fitzpatrick case, Lieutenant?
Well, sir, the outstanding facts are, one, he knows her name, and he knows all about her movements and her job.
That's not so surprising. These telephone cranks are usually well up on their subjects.
He's more than a telephone crank, sir. As you know, his motive is intended theft. He probably banks on the fact that she won't contact the police. Hence, his appearance on the staircase and the phone call.
All intended to scare her out of her wits.
Right, sir. But using her common sense, she phoned us last night. I would have to be very much undercover in our investigation, sir. He's threatened to kill her.
Oh, I see. He could be bluffing, but we can't afford to take that risk.
I have a plan, sir. I think the best possible thing to do in the circumstances.
Well, let's hear it then.
Excuse me. Lieutenant Robson. Yeah, I see. Ask him to come in, please. Thank you.
Huh? Who's this you're expecting?
Mr. Alan Walker, Managing Director of Imperial Engineering.
June Fitzpatrick's employer.
That's right, sir. Oh, excuse me, sir.
Right.
Mr. Walker, won't you come and sit down, sir?
Yes, thank you.
Are you Lieutenant Robson?
That's right, sir. And this gentleman here is Captain Marilich.
Yeah. How do you do?
How do you do?
Firstly, thank you for giving us some of your time and your cooperation. With your assistance, we can clear this business up very quickly.
I'm only too happy to help the police, Lieutenant.
That's very good to hear, Mr. Walker. Anyway, let me put you in the picture. Your secretary has been approached with regard to assisting a theft.
Well, you did explain this briefly on the phone to me.
Yes, that's right, sir. Now, I'd like Miss Fitzpatrick to comply with this man's instructions.
Well, I hope you don't expect me to part with my money.
Not at all, sir. All we'd like you to do is have her prepare the wages and let her leave at one. Everything should be as it is normally. And this man, we hope, will make contact with her at the Bijou Cinema. When he shows his face, I'll grab him.
I hope there'll be no violence. She's a nice girl. Wouldn't want it to come to any harm.
She won't be hurt, Mr. Walker. I can promise you that.
Well, sounds all right to me.
There are some other things I'd like to ask you, sir.
Yes?
Miss Fitzpatrick has just come into your employ, correct?
Yes, as my personal secretary and wages clerk.
And Mr. X knows this. In the past day or so, has anyone made inquiries concerning your business operations or staff?
Yes, there was a young man came to see me yesterday.
Go on, Mr. Walker.
Well, he said he was studying business principles. At university, he wanted to know how I ran my office.
I see. Did he make inquiries concerning Miss Fitzpatrick?
Yes. Yes, he did. And I told him that she was the wages clerk.
Can you describe him to me, sir?
About 5'9", slim, dark hair.
I think an identikit would be the answer here, Lieutenant.
Identikit?
Yes, we have a police artist who can prepare a composite picture from your description, Mr. Walker.
Oh, yes, yes, I know. Yes, well, I think I can give a pretty good description, but I'm a bit pressed for time at the moment. Do you think...
You may go now if you wish, Mr. Walker. I'll be in touch with you later in the day.
Oh, all right, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Walker. You've been most helpful, most cooperative.
Don't bother to get up. I'll find my own way out. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
So that's your plan, to let her go ahead. And you'll be there at the cinema.
That's right, sir. Do you approve?
What's showing on Friday, Lieutenant?
No, it's a Western, sir. I think it's called Don't Talk, Shoot.
Really? Interesting title. Who's in it?
Well, that chap is always in Western, sir. He has steely blue eyes and can shoot 7 people with a six-shooter.
Yes, I know the one. The bloke who never shaves. You know, I think I might come along with you. It's been ages since I've seen a good Western. One thing, though.
Yes, sir?
Let's nab this fellow cleanly and quickly. We'll leave the drama to the bloke on the screen.
Hmm? The one that never shaves.
Right.
The two detectives confirm their plans for Friday, and June Fitzpatrick is informed. Throughout the day, the investigation continues. An identical picture is prepared, but unfortunately, Miss Fitzpatrick cannot identify it. She tells the policeman she has absolutely no recollection of the man's appearance, and after being interviewed, she returns to her apartment.
Oh, no!
Seated in a car opposite the Bijou Cinema are Detectives Robson and Marilich. Lieutenant Robson attracts the attention of his partner as he sees the approaching figure of June Fitzpatrick.
Here she comes, sir. We've booked her seat. It's K-17 Center Aisle.
And mine is J-19. As soon as she's in, I'll move. Keep your eyes peeled with regard to this identikit. If you think you spot him while I'm in there, grab him.
Right, sir. Tell me what the film's like, sir. I may come and see it some other time.
Sure. There she goes.
Good luck, sir.
Thanks.
Don't you think you'd better move?
See that bloke getting out of the car?
Yes.
Fuzz. I can tell by the walk. She's tipped them off. She's called in a fuzz.
Are you sure he's a cop?
Oh, come on, mate. It's written all over him. He may as well be in uniform. Come on, let's get out of here.
You're not going in?
It'll be daft. I'll deal with her later.
I'm sorry, sir. I didn't catch sight of him at all.
Nor did we. Miss Fitzpatrick, when this man stopped you on the stairs, is there anything at all that you can remember about him? It doesn't matter how small the clue might be.
I don't know, but the second time he rang, the voice sounded like...
Yes?
Well, it's absurd, but it sounded like Wayne Rogers. This boy I remember from high school. Well, I mean, it's been so long, I can't really be sure.
Wayne Rogers... There's a file on him, sir.
Huh?
He's been in trouble both here and Durban.
What kind of trouble?
Phone calls, generally making a nuisance of himself.
Do you think I'm right? Could it be Wayne Rogers?
I should say it's more than a definite possibility.
Miss Fitzpatrick, I'd appreciate it if you could tell me as much as you know about this man.
Lieutenant Robson's investigations lead him to the apprehension of Jeff Ryder, the man described by Mr. Walker as the student of business principles. Ryder is brought in for questioning. And on Saturday morning, he finds himself sitting before Captain Marilich and Lieutenant Robson.
What do you want with me?
Just a little cooperation. We believe you can help us with our investigations.
Do you know a man by the name of Wayne Rogers?
No, I don't know anyone of that name.
Are you sure? The information given to us by a cafe proprietor leads us to believe that you've been seen together in his cafe.
Must be making a mistake. Probably got me mixed up with someone else.
I see. What's your livelihood, Mr. Ryder?
My what?
What do you do for a living?
I'm a plumber.
Have you ever attended university?
No, I'm only trained in the manual arts, as it were.
I see. Ask Mr. Walker to come in now. Thank you.
What's going on? I haven't done anything
Just
wrong.
Just sit quietly for a moment, Mr. Ryder.
Come in.
That's him. He's the one who came to my offices.
What's he talking about? I've never seen this bloke before in my life.
I'm absolutely sure, Captain.
Thank you, Mr. Walker. That's all we need to know. Would you care to wait outside now, sir? I'd like to ask this gentleman a few more questions.
Yes, of course.
Now, let's get down to the nitty-gritty.
I tell you, I don't know what he's talking about.
Mr. Ryder, Mr. Walker has seen you before. He's just identified you. I strongly suggest that you start giving us some truthful answers.
I want to see a solicitor.
You are not being charged, Mr. Ryder. You are merely helping the police with their inquiries.
What does that mean? I don't really see the difference.
It means you don't have to answer any questions if you don't want to.
Then I don't want to answer any questions.
Jeff, up to now it appears that you yourself have not committed any crime, except possibly that of misrepresentation. You know Wayne Rogers. I feel sure of that, Jeff. He is potentially a very dangerous man. He has a police record and he's known to have a violent temper. He may attack this girl.
What girl?
You know what I'm talking about. Do yourself a favor, lad. Pack it in. Tell us where we can find Wayne Rogers. It's really the only choice you have.
All right.
Take this down, Lieutenant.
Right, sir.
I met him at school in Durban. He had this crush on June then, but she wouldn't have anything to do with him. It sort of built up over the years that made him feel inferior. I don't really think he wanted the money from Walker. I think he just wanted to get back at June, get her into trouble for stealing.
Is that why he didn't come to the cinema yesterday?
No, he saw you crossing the road. Told me you looked like a cop.
You getting this, Lipton?
Yes, sir.
Where is Rogers now?
I don't know.
Come on.
I'm telling you the truth. He said he was going to ring me today. I don't even know where he lives.
I see. Well, in that case, we can both go back to your flat and wait for a phone call.
That's one coffee and donut, 28 cents.
Thanks, Fred.
I haven't seen you around for a while, Wayne. What have you been up to lately?
I've been keeping busy, Fred. If you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know. You don't have to tell me. Your love life, eh? I've got to hand it to you, Wayne. You certainly know how to pull the birds.
You've either got it or you haven't. That's what I always say. As a matter of fact, I've got a little beauty lined up at the moment.
No kidding. What's her name?
June. June Fitzpatrick. She's an actress.
Ooh, I've heard about them, eh? Ooh, I know all about these actresses.
Oh, this one is beautiful. And she's crazy about me. She wants to marry me.
Really? You must have her pretty well in tow, then, eh?
Well, of course, I've told her that marriage is out of the question. She doesn't want to take no for an answer. She's nutty about me. Look, here's a photograph of her.
Yes. Now, that's really something, eh? She certainly is a smasher. Look, why don't you marry her? I would if I had a bird like that.
No, there's no point. I can pick up 100 more like her. Why settle for one when you can have a lot?
Yeah, aren't you the crafty one, eh? And when are you going to see her again?
I don't know, really. But I think I might drop around after I finish this coffee.
Well, tell her that Fred of Fred's Cafe thinks she's beautiful.
I'll tell her that, Fred. I'll certainly tell her that.
The wig over, his heavy anagram in 10 letters. You only got it crosswords?
No, I'm not. Look, I don't think it's going to ring. We've been here for ages now. Why don't we pack it in?
Patience, Jeff, patience. He'll be in touch with you, I'm sure of it.
You know, I've known him since school days. And to this day, I still haven't been able to figure him out.
Oh, in what way?
In some ways, he's a very smart bloke, and in others...
Yes, in others?
He's always bragging about how he makes the birds, how they all fall at his feet.
Is it true?
No, not a word of it. Most girls won't even look at him. I suppose that's why he talks so much. Easy to dream.
In the long run, it's easier to face reality. Go on, answer it.
Hello? Jeff Ryder speaking.
I know it's Jeff Ryder speaking, you grit twit. Well, how are you going?
Fine, fine. Where are you now, Wayne?
Nowhere in particular. Just wandering about. Why do you ask?
I just thought you might like to come around here. Have a drink, perhaps.
No, thanks all the same. I think I might go and see if I can pick up a bird or two. I'm feeling lucky today.
Where are you going to do that?
I don't know. Wherever the mood strikes me. Bye for now.
He's rung off.
All right, put the phone down.
Well, what do you want to do now?
I want to finish my crossword.
But aren't you going to get out there, try and find him?
Mr. Ryder, I don't tell you how to be a plumber. Don't you tell me how to be a policeman.
Who is it?
Post. Registered parcel.
Just a minute.
Who are you? What do you want?
You're the caretaker, aren't you?
Yes, I am, but please to put down that knife. Don't hurt
me. You won't be hurt if you do as you're told. If you just relax and listen to me.
What do you want me to do?
I want you to give me the key to June Fitzpatrick's flat.
You must be the man the police asked me about, the one who made the phone.
No, I'm not. I'm her boyfriend. I just want to go up and see her. Give me the key. Now.
Now, please.
Do what you're told.
All right. Here you are.
Thanks. Thanks a lot. And there you are, my darling. You look so peaceful. Asleep on the sofa. All bundled up in a rug. For a while, I thought you might come to understand me. Be my proper girlfriend. But you snitched to the cops. Stupid thing to do. We could have used that money. We could have gone away together. But it's too late now. You're going to die. June. Wake up.
Hello there. Give us a kiss.
Fuzz, lousy fuzz.
Sorry about that. If you're going to play with knives, you must expect to get your fingers burnt. All right, miss. Come out of the bedroom now.
Good heavens. It is Wayne Rogers. You haven't killed him.
No, just put him to sleep for a while. I don't think he'll bother you again.
I'll read your statement back to you.
No. I don't want to hear it.
Just as you please. Is there anything else you might want to add?
I love her. And she really loves me.
Yes. You know all about love, don't you? All right. Take him out, Constable.
Right, sir. Screwball. Nutcase.
That's what his lawyer will try and tell the judge, too.
Oh, very odd. What a jumbled mind, full of jealousy and fantasy.
Incidentally, you did a neat job of capturing him. Pity about that caretaker, though. He disobeyed my instructions. I told him not to answer the door to anyone.
And he got a knock on the head for his trouble. By the way, sir, you still haven't told me what that film was like.
Subsequent trial, Wayne Rogers put forward a plea of insanity, which was accepted by the court. He was committed to an appropriate institution for an indefinite period of time.
They prowl the empty streets at night, waiting, in fast cars, on foot, living with crime and violence. These men are on duty 24 hours out of every 24. They face dangers at every turn, expecting nothing less. They protect the people of South Africa. These are the men of Squad Cars. Listen again. return next Friday evening to another dramatic story in our authentic South African police series, Squad Cars. Squad Cars is directed by Colin Fish and produced by David Goodman.